You are listening to On The Daily, the RotoViz Daily Fantasy Sports Podcast, powered by RotoViz Radio.
What up, what up? This is Matt Dolkin. Check me out on Twitter, at BeardedDFS. You're listening to the October 4th, 2017 edition of On The Daily, the PGA edition. It's time. It's a new season. I know you're tired of playing the same guys every week, and this is the real golf. This is when it begins, you know. We've been playing Sergio. We've been playing Justin Rose. We've been playing Jason Day every single week. And we're not going to see these guys for a while, probably. So we're going to get to play a lot of different golfers. You're going to see a lot of guys with weird pricing. This week is a bit of a short week, you know. A quick turnaround, you know, playing the Thursday night game after a Sunday nighter type stuff, because we had the salaries come out late this week due to, you know, web tournament ending on Monday. So it affected who would be on the in the field, which affects the salaries. So we're a day behind, but it's all good. We're going to grind. We're going to get right through it. Game theory is going to be really important this time of the year. There's a lot of really weak fields. There's a weak field this week. Ownership percentages are going to be concentrated heavily, and there's going to be 30% owned guys that miss the cut. So I think it's really important to just start being contrarian really early on. This week, we're heading to Napa, California for the Safeway Open. Priorly, the Fry's Electronics Open, to the Silverado Country Club. The event has been held here since 2014, which is the 2015 PGA season. That gets really annoying, and I was reminded of it again this week when I did the wrong year for my key stats, and I had to redo it, but it's okay. I'll probably do the same thing next year. This 7,171 par 72 course has 4 par 3s, 10 par 4s, and 4 par 5s. The par 5s are not long, but only 2 of them are really, like, really easily reachable in 2. Those are the 2 on the back 9. The 2 on the front, they're a little bit tight, so, I mean, you can go for it, but it can be really penal if it doesn't work out for you. So we look at the weather. It looks like there is going to be some wind on Thursday, but we can't really factor that in until a little bit closer to lock. So let's just wait on that. The past 3 winners in order are Brendan Steele, Emiliano Grillo, and Bae Sang Moon, returning from his commitment to his country to serve in the military, which is required. I forgot what the qualification is. He had to, like, win a PGA tournament or something like that, and he was unable to do so. So, you know, he's returning after a 2-year hiatus serving his country. I see a lot of different traits that are correlating amongst the guys who have done well. I looked at the 3 aforementioned first place guys and the runner ups in those years, and strokes gained approach, proximity, and birdie or better percentage seem to correlate the highest amongst the winners and runner-ups. It makes a lot of sense. You know, this course can be tight, and it's really short, so I don't think the Bombers are going to have a huge advantage. I mean, there's a few par fours that they might have it, but I think this week I'm going to be leaning more on accuracy. We expect the rough to be short. The greens, there's mixed reports, so I think they're mixed POA and bent grass. I think that's what we're going with. So I'm not really going to be able to factor putting in too much just because I'm really unsure. But this is going to be a scoring fest this week. So, yeah, you're definitely going to want guys that can score. You do not need distance for this course. So let's get right into it. Let's hop into the player pool on DraftKings. At the top, the guy I've been fading the whole end of last season, Tony Finau, 11,500. Best odds to win at 12-1. I honestly am a fan of Tony Finau, and I faded him last year at the end because he was just so high owned every week, and I think it benefited me some weeks and it hurt me other weeks. But I think you have to fade him. You just can't really play Finau expecting him to win. I he has one win in his career, and it was in a weaker field event than this. So I don't know. It's just really hard to pay a premium for Tony Finau. I feel the same way about, you know, Webb, Phil, Zach Johnson. A lot of these guys are really hard to pay for, especially when, you know, we're really used to them being like a lot cheaper with the fields that we've been seeing. But I mean, I feel like you can really attack the mid range this week. Like there's a lot of guys that I really like in the low 7Ks, in the 8Ks. So I don't really think you need to go above 10K this week. I mean, the first guy that I'm really like just honing in on, and I think is like the ultimate chalk this week, like definitely would make a prime fade in tournaments, is Kevin Na. I mean, he's an odds value. He has incredible advanced course history, the best in the field. There's no way that he's not going to be really high owned, 28-1, just cheap. So I think he's a great cash lock. I definitely like him, but you know, it's golf, anything can happen, and I think he may approach 25% this week. I've heard him on every single outlet that is pretty big in golf this week, just touting Kevin Na. So I definitely think he's going to be popular. A couple guys I like to pivot off Kevin Na to are Keegan Bradley and Brandon Steele. These guys are just tee to green gods in this field. You know, they're two of the best guys tee to green. I mean, who's better above them? You have Finau, Simpson, and Mickelson. And then, you know, you drop five, six spots down and you get to these guys. So these are those guys. I mean, you can even throw Glover in there, but Glover, it's just hard. I never see Glover at the top. Let's keep going down. Peter Uihlein is going to be huge chalk this week. I think people really like him, but I think I like Jamie Lovemark a little better. The course just fits him really well. He's seen it before. His advanced course history is pretty good. 29th tee to green, 12th off the tee. So I think he's a good play there to definitely pivot off the Uihlein chalk, who people love. I like Uihlein too. I think he's a great player. But I think, you know, initially when I entered the week, I wanted to really target some of these web guys because I was like, oh, people aren't going to be on him. And I mean, Uihlein was an obvious one, but even guys in the lower range that I didn't think would be as popular as I found them to be throughout, you know, surveying the landscape of the industry, I think I might have to wait, you know, and let these guys fail a couple times and then hop on them when they get lower owned. Because, you know, when you have these guys that are new to the tour and they're like priced similarly to guys that are, you know, proven players that have competed in stronger fields, and they're going to be more popular than these proven players, then it kind of makes it hard where, you know, if you can get an edge and find a guy that's low owned and maybe not one of the guys that everyone's on from the web tour, these guys that came up. But I mean, we could just say it now, you know, Keith Mitchell, Aaron Wise, and Peter Uihlein are three of those guys that everybody's going to be on this week. So that high ownership, it's kind of a painful thing to do. Let's get going down. Emiliano Grillo, he is one here. Definitely a guy who is just so good. I mean, this is a guy who used to have, you know, over you know, one stroke gain tee to green average. And that's elite. That would have probably ranked like top 20 in the tour this year. But he just seems like he's going to be popular again. People love to hop right back on this guy. He showed a little bit of form, but I mean, of course, he has great advanced course history, having, you know, a win here, but it's just with the popularity, I just don't see why you wouldn't just go to Bud Cauley, Ollie Schneiderjans, two also phenomenal tee to green players that I think may be lower owned than Griot. I mean, I think we all want Griot to return to this insane form because we saw the talent. We know what this guy is capable of. But I just don't see the evidence of that yet. And I just don't see a reason to hop on him when I think he's going to gain a decent amount of traction this week. You know, I like Harold Varner moving down. This is a guy who can just score. Just score, score, score. Like, I mean, if we expect a winning score of, you know, around under 20, maybe even more, Varner is a guy who can do that. He could do that for you. He can get hot and go just eagle, birdie, 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 you know, bogey, eagle. Like, and that's the thing is also he's a great DraftKings scorer. This guy is always, always scoring, always getting birdies and eagles for you. He's never a safe play, never a cash game play. But I mean, at 8K, I think it's a great price for him in this field, of course. As we get a little lower, we reach, you know, a couple of these guys people want to hop on. Oppenheim, Mitchell, someone I played a little bit last year in the swing season was Martin Flores. Not sure if I'm going to hop on here. It's just hard when there's just like such supreme values. And guys I love right here at 7,500, you got two with one below. You got Chad Campbell. This guy has a pretty good advanced course history. 15th tee to green, 39th off the tee, 22nd in approach, 19th around the green in his trips to Napa here. And I just think he's just a phenomenal play, strong approach player. I want to like Graham Dillette, but I think he is kind of turning into chalk because he is such a strong tee to green player. But I mean, if his back is fine and he's not injured, I don't see, you know, it's hard not to play him at 7,500. I mean, in this field, that just like really stands out. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, his odds are 66-1 and he's all the way down here. It just doesn't really make sense. His odds just don't line up with this DraftKings price. Seamus Power, Patrick Rogers. Patrick Rogers had a really good showing here. He was 6th tee to green, 3rd off the tee. I mean, he's had good showings here. 6th tee to green, 3rd off the tee, 22nd in approach, 45th around the green. So I definitely think you can go to him. Moving down, let's get a little lower into the 7K range. There, like I said, I don't really necessarily think you need to go too low this week because I don't really love the guys up top. I think you can kind of hammer the upper 7K, you know, 8K and then lower 9K range because I think there's just like a lot of optimal plays that are just you know, really good values in that range. And some of the guys at the top are seem suboptimal because they're, you know, they're not values. The last guy I probably want to talk about, two more guys, you know, Grayson Murray at 7,100, definitely just far too cheap of a price for him. We saw this guy playing lights out in like strong field tournaments, like, you know, getting top 20s in places where you don't expect Grayson Murray to perform at. I mean, you know, pretty strong field, Dell Technologies 25th, PGA Championship 22nd. He got his win at the Barbasol. The guy has showed he can get it done. He can score. So, I mean, you know, on the weekend slate, you might want to take a look at him too. So, I definitely think he's someone you want to look at that's far too cheap this week and odds value, you know, according to what I'm looking at. moving down, JJ Spawn. I can feel myself getting tired. I feel like the energy is leaving me. I apologize. Let me sip this tea. Maybe it'll perk me up. I got this matcha green jasmine. It is potent, let me tell you. But last guy we'll touch on here, JJ Spawn. Definitely a guy I was targeting a lot last year during the swing season. He was playing strong coming on. Ended up having a back injury last year. So I definitely think you might want to hop on this guy. He's got a strong tee to green game. He's really good at these short courses because he's not a bomber, but he's good with his irons, good ball striker. So I've seen, you know, I don't think he's been playing a lot. So, I mean, that's good because he was injured and he kept re-injuring his back. So, I don't know. It's kind of definitely a GPP play, not safe because I don't think he's been playing a ton lately. But, you know, he's not going to be injured anymore. But I think that's going to do it for us this week. Come back with the full pod next week. Oh, also, Sung Kang at 6,900. I like him. But we'll come back with the full pod next week. You know, things were a little messed up with the salaries not coming out till Tuesday. So, but we got it done. So make sure you head over to iTunes, subscribe to RotoViz Radio, leave a comment, tell your friends, tell your family. There's so much good stuff going on at RotoViz right now. You got the just amazing NFL content, ton of free quality pods, and just a lot of season-long DFS, just pretty much anything you could want. So, you know, head over to iTunes, subscribe to RotoViz Radio. Check me out on Twitter at BeardedDFS. It's $4 this week for my article. My articles, which has the course history, course intro and key statistics. And then we're going to smash together the chalk pivots and the picks because of the salaries coming out late this week. Check out my work on FanVice for NFL. I do a show every Wednesday, and I'm getting tired. Hopefully I wasn't too boring tonight. Good luck this week. Take down the dog leg.
Thank you for listening to On The Daily, the RotoViz Daily Fantasy Sports Podcast, powered by RotoViz Radio. And special thanks to Randy E. Aguabo for the introduction. Please review the podcast on iTunes under the established RotoViz Radio feed. Contact us via email onthedailydfs@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter @onthedailydfs.